Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q1 FY22 earnings conference call of Kaya Limited, hosted by Dolat Capital Markets Private Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Sachin Bobade from Dolat Capital. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Steven. On behalf of Dolat Capital, I welcome you all to the Q1 FY22 earnings conference call of Kaya Limited. Hope you all and your family are staying safe and healthy during the pandemic time. From the management side, we have with us Mr. Rajiv Nair, Group Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Vikas Agarwal, Chief Executive Officer, Kaya Middle East Limited, and Mr. Saurav Shah, Chief Financial Officer. Now I hand the floor to the management for their opening remark, and then we would have a question and answer session. Over to you, sir.
Let me begin the conference call with a very short update on Q1 Financial 22 performance of Kaya Limited, which is already in public domain. Our website, www.kaya.in. Kaya Limited posted consolidated revenue from operation of Rs. 66.2 crores for the quarter ended 30th June 2021, a growth of 177% over corresponding quarter ended 30th June 2020. Consolidated EBITDA is Rs. 4.9 crores in Q1 Financial 22 as compared to negative 13.4 crore in Q1 Financial 21. Consolidated loss after tax and before exceptional item for Q1 Financial 22 is INR 14.4 crore as compared to loss of INR 31.8 crore in Q1 Financial 21. India loss after tax and before exceptional item for Q1 Financial 22 is INR 12 crore as compared to loss of 17.4 crore in Q1 Financial 21. I would like to hand over the call over to Mr. Rajiv Nair, CEO of Kaya India, to brief on quarter performance. Thank you.
Good evening, everybody. Business in India was disrupted due to the second round of COVID and was operational only for 40 days in Q1 FY22. And the month of June, business resumed with restricted hours and certain restrictions from the government on weekend performance. Mall clinics continue to be shut down in certain cities, but things are coming to normalcy as we go forward in the current quarter. Digital businesses contributed to 22% of the total net revenue, which is largely our e-commerce with partners. Product business contributed to 29% of the total net revenue. Kaya expanded its digital footprint with an exclusive tie-up with CureFit for skin and hair services across cities like Mumbai, Delhi, NCR, Bangalore, Hyderabad, and Chennai. Our company has initiated a zero-based organization, that's ZBO and ZBX projects with Accenture to bring sustainable savings across people and other expenses. Our company also embarked on creating a brand new D2C website, which would be launched in Q2 for sale of products and services and creating content for hair and skin services. Our company has also expanded our portfolio of body contouring and plastic surgery services in the Middle East region. Our company has also developed an AI-based skin assessment tool, which aids doctors to show clients a predictive image post use of certain services like acne and pigmentation. Our focus on both markets was on safety for employees and clients while opening the clinics during the COVID-19 pandemic second wave even. The business has adopted the highest of COVID-19 compliance standards in both the markets in line with the WHO guidelines. Most of our employees who were eligible for vaccination have been vaccinated. I'll hand the floor over to Saurabh once more.
Thank you, Rajiv. The detailed information update is already available with you, and I open the session for questions, and my colleague and I would be glad to answer them. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. A reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one at this time. The first question is from the line of Ishit Sheth from Anvil Wealth. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir.
Good evening.
Ishit. Just a couple of questions, sir. One is, any update on the new website that we were planning to launch, and you know, can you highlight some of the other digital initiatives that we are likely to embark on when it comes to Kaya India?
Yeah. So Ishit, you know, as mentioned in the last quarter, the work on the website is almost at its last stage, and we should be able to launch the website in this quarter. And we'll start with sale of products through the website, but we'll progressively also add services and a solutions approach on the website. So that's as far as the website is concerned. On the other digital initiatives, as we mentioned, we have a tie-up with Cure.fit, and our products, our services are now listed on the CultFit app in about 5 main cities across the country. We do expect this to bring in about 5 to 6% of our total revenue to come through this route of digital acquisition of customers into the clinics. Both from our own website initiative as well as with partners like Cure.fit. We have also tied up with digital first companies like Cred and Magic Pin, which will also be you know, some amount of customer incentivization or benefits, which will also bring in digital customers from that ecosystem into this. A lot of digital marketing communication was sent out during the period when we shut down the clinics and then reopened. Some of the initiatives have been very successful, especially the use of vernacular across certain regions. So, for example, in the cities like in Ahmedabad in Gujarat and in the city of Mumbai and in Bangalore, we used local communication through digital. While the clinics were shut down, we also conducted a lot of dermat-related videos, and which we plan to really create a lot of content around skin and hair services over the next 6 months. But we started off that exercise with our dermats actually working with influencers and actually creating Instagram and Facebook videos, which is something that we will be continuing to create content bank for the brand. We also did a lot of customer testimonials which were uploaded on our Facebook and Instagram websites to be able to, you know, tell customers as to what are the steps that we have taken in terms of COVID safety in the clinic. So these are largely the things. So if you look at it, our e-commerce for the first quarter has hit whatever numbers we had predicted. But the second quarter onwards, we'll also have our own website starting to sell products in a larger way. So I think that's as far as revenue generation through e-commerce is concerned. So that's the broad digital activities that we've done in the last 1 month, 1 quarter, sorry.
Sure. Sir, the second question is, on a normalized revenue run rate for India, as we had highlighted a couple of quarters back, the corporate expenses as a percentage of sales had come down to 17% to 18%. Now, when you talk about hiring an external consultant, what is the final objective of, you know, reduction in costs?
While we've used the consultant and we are currently at stage two, which is basically the implementation phase where we actually start to see results in the P&L, we don't expect, for the first quarter, basically evaluation of various lines of expenses, including people expenses. And the implementation actually happens between Q2 to Q4. So you'll start seeing benefits from there. I currently don't want to put a number on it, but the savings will be significantly higher than the expenses that we incur on consultancy.
So, can you give a kind of a payback period for that? Like, generally, like, if you were to spend, say, X amount, do we expect that
we'll payback? We'll get the results within 1 year itself.
Okay, within one year.
Yeah, within 1 year. Well, 1 year annualized. So if you start getting savings from the month of September, then within one annualized year, we should be able to see returns on this investment.
Got it. Okay. So the next question is, obviously, July has passed by. How do you see the recovery happening for India, specifically the entire business vertical in terms of services and products, for Kaya India?
Yeah, very encouraging, I would say. I don't want to put a number to it, but actually between June and July, there has been a significant upside on customers, I would say, overall sentiment to buy. Consumption volumes, customers who are coming, which are actually still limited in terms of the number of customers who are coming in, number of services taken by customer per visit has actually increased, and also propensity to spend is pretty strong. And there are certain segments I mentioned last time also, Ishit, is on areas like laser hair removal. There seems to be a popular feeling now that it is a safer option for hair removal in comparison to things like waxing. So we see a significant upsurge on the laser hair removal vertical. Strangely enough, this time acne, anti-aging and penis pigmentation have also picked up faster than what it did last year. So we do believe that customers feel a little bit more comfortable right now also because of vaccination, both ends, both employees also vaccinated, quite a few of our customers also vaccinated.
Right. Okay. Got it. So all in all, you think that in terms of recovery, if you compare it to, say, second half of last year, when, Q4, when, the second wave had not hit us, I think the recovery in terms of revenue recovery should be faster and better as compared to last year. Is that correct?
In comparison to last year, definitely yes. How it pans out all depends on how in case there is a third wave. At this stage, people are just getting out of the second wave, and also Bombay and other cities that actually restricted movements till now into stores, stores were not allowed to open beyond 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock. Now that has also been opened up. So I think the overall sentiment would be good. Cities like Delhi and Bangalore have more or less normalized, but cities like Mumbai were still slow to come in. But I think this month onwards, there seemed to be a lot more relaxation.
Got it. And sir, you've appointed two additional directors whose profile has been is obviously incredible. Can you share some thoughts on the same? Like, how would it help Kaya in the medium to long term with their expertise?
So, Saurabh, you want to just run over the profile very broadly once, just in case,
Yeah, so Vasuta is a MD of Asia Pacific in Mobile. And she has featured in Campaign Asia, we went to watch this. She is, also in online marketing. She is one of the first startup and unicorns company to go for a global India. And she is one of the founder strategy to product to business role. So basically, she is more from a IT marketing, digital marketing profile perspective. With regard to Mr. Manchana, wait, I think Om Manchanda is everyone known, is managing director of Dr. Lal Pathology, and he is an MBA from IIM Ahmedabad and also alumnus of Harvard Business School, and more from the business perspective, good insight can be come from medical backgrounds and everything. So these are the broad backgrounds which we can see from the both.
So Ishit, just to round that off, I think Ishit, Vasuta actually brings in digital marketing experience and mobile commerce experience, and that's something that is quite handy for us because all our communication going forward is going to be digitally focused. So a lot of interactions we've already had with her have been fairly fruitful, and we continue to do that. So I think that's her contribution on the board. And Dr. Om Manchanda, I think he has got a very strong background of running pathology centers all across, and I think fairly profitable business as well. So also from a physical clinic standpoint, there are a lot of learnings that we can bring through him. His own successful journey as a person leading a fairly leading chain of pathology centers. These are two things that is useful for us.
So broadly, I would summarize that, you know, the expertise of Ms. Vasudha would be more from a product side of the business, and for OHM, it will be more from the service side of the business. Is that
correct? I would just change that. One is a physical business growth and profitability. That is, OHM has got a lot of experience. Vasudha brings in overall digital experience. I would not just put it as product experience, but overall digital experience. Yeah.
Got it. And one question for Vikas, if he's on the call. In terms of, you know, Middle East, I think, again, encouraging revenue run rate even in this quarter. But, again, we fall short of, you know, crossing that 50 crore kind of a mark. I think last quarter, there was some impact for 1 week or 10 days, if I remember correctly. But what was it that, you know... led us to not achieve that 50 crore plus 100 in Middle East?
Yeah. Hi, Rishi. Hi. So we've had intermittent disruptions this quarter, unlike last quarter where we were shut down in certain clinics for a long time. This time we've had issues in Abu Dhabi. So Abu Dhabi is facing a very high COVID situation with Sinopharm vaccine people getting COVID after 6 months. So there's been a huge restriction that put in place where even an employee getting COVID means the clinic has to shut down for a day, sanitize, and then reopen after a day or 2 days. And we've also had a lot of employee gaps because they have to quarantine for 10 days. So, I mean, all in all, there's been at least a 15% to 17% mandate loss that we've seen coming out of almost three clusters, almost 55% of the business. While 45% of the business is doing very well. So Dubai as a city, we've done almost 105% of pre-COVID, and in June was almost 115%. Even Riyadh in Saudi Arabia has done 105% in Q1 and 120% in June. So there are clusters which are doing very well. Even other clusters, I think these disruptions as they reduce, they will ramp up because actually if you add back those mandates, we would have been even beyond pre-COVID and even the profitability would have transformed even further than that. But yeah, some disruptions continue. We're expecting some to continue even in the quarter, hopefully not to the extent of Q1 because the vaccinations of Pfizer are ramping up in Abu Dhabi and Alain. But yeah, due to which we've had a setback. But there are two clusters, 45% of the business doing very well, which are not disrupted right now.
Okay. And in terms of the quarterly repayment of debt, are we on track on that front?
Sorry? Quarterly repayment of?
Debt. You know, the debt that we were supposed
to... Yeah, that's completely on track. Sorry. Yeah.
Okay. So, okay, great. And overall, do you see that especially by... second half from Middle East, things will be in a much better position than what we are even today?
So it should be because if you look at the vaccination rate in all the GCC countries, it's quite high. Now in UAE, we face a problem because Sinopharm durability was a question mark. But right. The way they are giving out Pfizer now to people, I think another 2 months when they would be vaccinating people who are vaccinated with Sinopharm, we should stabilize the country a lot more from a COVID perspective. Saudi Arabia, again, is on a rampage of vaccination and there is only Pfizer. And Oman, again, is on a rampage. So I think from a COVID standpoint, H2 should be a lot more stable. Plus also, Expo is going to come in, which means a lot of tourists are going to come in, a lot of traffic are going to come in. And today, for example, UAE is completely locked down India. But they will open up when they need the traffic for Expo. And that will also help us even in terms of recruitment and customers. So definitely COVID situation should be better. But internally, I think we are preparing ourselves to counter these COVID disruptions. So we're not going to wait for COVID to go away and help us in turnover. We've got some initiatives going where we've had wins in quarter one, and we think we will be able to ramp them up a lot more. So there are three things that we've done in quarter one which have really helped. We for years have not played in the price war of laser. We've done some remodeling over there and done some prototypes in quarter one, where the idea was to increase our client base in laser and therefore the overall client base, which also feeds into the other vertical, and see if we can really manage to play in that market with a very different model. We've had some wins in May and June, where we saw a good ramp-up of client base, which has also helped. And we believe that in the coming quarters, that will definitely help us also be able to counter the disruption if our client count ramps up faster. Then the other win has been Body, where we put in a few machines in quarter one. We scaled up a few machines in quarter one from where we were. Just to give you a perspective, we were doing almost INR 4 crores last year as an annual turnover. In a matter of 2 months, I analyzed it goes up to almost 7-8 crores. We're very excited about it. We've seen a high potential in Bombay. And like Raji had said in his introduction, we are going forward with that to see how much more we can ramp up that. So that has been another win in June when we launched and scaled up. And we believe in the coming quarters that is definitely going to help us. And the third is plastic surgery. So again, plastic surgery was shut down for some time. We couldn't do much. But we again had some wins in June, where it's a business which now is becoming a 2 crore plus and growing up very fast. So again, those wins will come. So while on one side, we are ramping up client base through laser, on the other side, we are talking about solutions which are less client, more value, which is body and plastic surgery. We do hope that we will be able to counter the disruptions and still move forward on turnover with these. And yes, of course, in H2, hopefully the COVID situation should also get a lot better and stable.
Sure. So your overall laser category would contribute how much as a percentage of sales now in Q1?
So right now we're at 26% contribution. Pre-COVID, we had a contribution of almost 29-30%. But the other doctor-led verticals have grown much faster. Body has grown much faster. The laser base right now is at around 80-85% of pre-COVID. But we are very hopeful to ramp it up further.
Okay. So broadly, if you see over the short to medium term, we expect that laser as a category will come down as other treatments pick up for Middle East, and that will help in overall, making the business model much more consistent.
Yeah. So laser will not come down. Laser, in fact, now we're going very aggressive. The client count and the business of laser should help us. And that in the short term will help us to grow the client base. While growing the client base, the doctor-led verticals like body, hair, plastic surgery, anti-aging will grow because those are the feeder client base that we get. And we've seen that in the last 2 months happening. So while on one side, we are going to grow the client base through laser and widespread the growth, on the other side, we have verticals which we are very reputed for in this market with efficacy, which are going to grow based on those client base. That's the whole strategy.
Got it. And just one question for the team. Are you all seeing a similar trend of, consolidation happening across the industry where organized players like Kaya, are perceived as much safer and more people are coming to us as compared to competition, as competition has also weakened in this entire COVID pandemic phase?
Just to answer that, I think definitely we see disruption which has happened because of COVID across semi-organized, unorganized players. Even I would say some amount of salon traffic has moved to clinics, especially around areas like waxing moving into laser hair removal. Some of the organized competitors have also been impacted in the last few months, or last 1 year almost, because of cash flow situations and stuff. But I think in all, I think the understanding that it's a safe environment to come has been positive for us. How much business has really moved, there are no clear numbers to it. But definitely we can see customers coming from competition and salons into the clinics during this period.
Okay. Thanks a lot. I'll come back in the queue.
Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shuvish Kumar from an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, this is Shuvish Kumar, and thank you for providing the opportunity to ask the question. Am I audible? Hello?
Yes, sir. Yeah. You are audible.
Okay. Yeah. And I have three very small questions. One is that, is there any plan to close few clinics this year? And if at all it is, then how many? Second is very small one. Were there any salary cuts in Q1? And third is, how were rentals affected for the clinics in Q1? Thank you.
Yeah. So your questions are largely around the cost of operating the business. So currently, we took a decision to shut down almost 23 clinics over FY20 and FY19, FY20, and we do not foresee any major clinic shutdowns in the near future. In fact, we have also relocated some clinics for better rentals, but with better locations over the last 1 year. At least one clinic in Chennai has been located. We are looking for more such opportunities, where we can bring down the rent but get to a better location, because there is some room for negotiation that is available in the market today. Secondly, on the rental negotiation, we've been able to negotiate this time as we did last year. But of course, the quantum of reduction of rent this year is much lower than that of last year, only because the situation has come under control much faster this year in comparison to last year. So we have seen 50% in case of certain months, 100%, but almost about 45-50% reduction in terms of rent in quite a few clinics in the last quarter. So that's the second part. The third part you mentioned was the salary, is it?
That's correct.
Yeah, we did take cuts on salaries through the last quarter, especially in the month of May, where we had heavy disruption and systems were shut down. So right up from the clinic operations level to the back office level, we took cuts in salaries. But those will come back. In fact, they are, as we speak, coming back to normalcy in the business. So that's something that we did as a temporary measure to save our cash.
Okay, that answers my question. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one at this time. The next question is from the line of Shrey Sahu, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello, Mr. Nair.
Yes, yes.
Congratulations. You have been doing a great job in terms of recovering the business and bringing it to close to break-even. I just have a couple of questions and one suggestion. My first question is, the digital initiatives that we are taking and the online consultation thing that we were talking about, have you seen, what kind of traction are you seeing from Tier 1, Tier 2, and Tier 3 cities in online consultations? And what kind of promise are you seeing there?
Should I answer that? Okay. So as far as web consultations are concerned, our volumes are still not very large. Our e-commerce business is the major revenue driver. And if you notice in the last quarter also, while there was disruption, about 22% of our business actually came from e-commerce. Our major players in that segment are Amazon and Nykaa, and we service more than 1,000 PIN codes right now through them. So obviously the business is not restricted to only larger cities. They are also in the Tier 2, Tier 3 cities. When I'm saying our own website, it will create capabilities of web consultation with almost like a proprietary product for ourselves. And that will kind of leapfrog web consultation. We don't expect huge revenues from web consultation as much as it becomes a lead funnel into the business. And we are able to attract customers to buy products and services of Kaya through the web consultation process. So definitely you'll see web consultation growing as a segment going forward. As of today, it's a very minimal part of our business. But it will definitely generate new customers for the brand through this. The D2C website that we are planning to launch, also our ambition is to definitely make it a good quality website that will also fire up the product sales for our business and going forward become a solutions website where we are able to sell services, products and content
to customers, not really sell content, provide content to customers. So that's the answer as far as the digital initiatives go. Am I missing any of your question?
Just a follow-up to this question.
Yes, sir.
So when you say your web consultations are going to get you more customers, I understand it is more about lead generation and all that. But how are we going to move beyond the barrier of physical geography into the cities where we do not have our presence as clinics?
Correct. Well, so as you realize, I think over time we've been discussing that products have to become a strong part of our business model. It is about 30% of our business, but we do expect this to rise to a 40-45% of the business. And we do expect all of that growth to largely be driven by digital channels. Digital, when I'm saying not just e-commerce, through customers coming online, but also an omni-channel approach where people can buy products even at clinics using web. So I think that's the model that we're actually trying to build. So I don't think physical services we can deliver to smaller cities because we don't have physical presence unless we do some partnerships and collaborations like a franchise. At this stage, it is not high priority for us. But products we can deliver to almost even on our own website, we are able to service almost 800 PIN codes. We hope to increase that substantially once we relaunch our D2C website.
My next question would be, so when I did my research on Kaya as a shareholder, what I found is there are two different ends of the spectrum when it comes to the opinion that people carry about Kaya as a brand. One end of the spectrum is your loyal customer, which contributes your north of 80% retention rate and all that. And the other end of the spectrum is the one which considers Kaya as either overpriced or and overrated as a brand. Now that's a perception. My question here is, are we aware of this?
Yes.
This is the first question. Second is, are we working towards collapsing these two different diverse or different ends of the spectrum into something which is more acceptable for people, where Kaya is perceived as a brand and is considered like something that people can aspire for, not overpriced or overrated?
Yes. Very good question, sir. We are mindful of the fact that affordability is something that is needed for, at least in a country like India, for a service or any particular offering to kind of grow. We have been making a conscious effort over the last 3 years to bring down the prices to a level where young people, especially millennials, can afford brand Kaya. Because since our route of communication is largely digital, Our actual target group that we are communicating to is an 18 to 35 year old consumer. And not all of them can afford all the services that we actually do, but there are certain acquisition services like laser hair removal and acne and fairness pigmentation, where we have brought down our prices progressively. So there are people who probably have not visited a Kaya clinic in the last couple of years. We probably still carry a perception of high pricing, wherein the prices have actually come down by upwards of 15% to, in some cases, 25-30% down in these acquisition categories. The other is, we are consciously in digital and social media trying to focus on a product approach as well. So people who cannot afford or don't want to come to a clinic for services can also buy our products, which are highly efficacious. So get across to consumers, especially the younger consumer, both in the form of affordable services, which become acquisition services, and also through products. So that's the way we are looking at. We are mindful of it. I would not call it overrated, but overpriced in the perception of customers. I think that is a perception that we want to kill. And because now we are reaching out to a lot more customers through the digital funnel, we are probably able to explain all of that a little better than in the past.
As long as the communication goes right to the
customer, Absolutely. And third thing, just wanted to clarify also to you, is that now all our services are available on an EMI basis. We in fact work with companies like Bajaj Finance quite a lot in the last 1 year, 1.5 years. So, which means customers are in a position to acquire services almost on a 0% EMI basis. So, customers who couldn't afford to pay 50%, 40% of the service value in one tranche are today able to spread it across 6 to 9 months of payment. So, that's another thing that we thought younger consumers, first-time jobbers could potentially buy services at a better price. So, that's something that we've also gone ahead and done.
That sounds good. I mean, my next question is kind of a suggestion as a follow-up to this. I would like to ask you first, do you look at any lead indicator to identify who can be your potential customer within the 18 to 36 or 40 age group? Do you have any lead indicator to find out, okay, this is the persona that I want to target and this is the kind of person who's going to go ahead and pick my services? I mean, it's a probabilistic game, but yes, it's possible.
Yes. It's a very forward-looking suggestion because I think that's the place at which we are also trying to do. So using analytics amongst our existing client base, we are trying to build personas for customers. And that doesn't mean only HNI customers or premium customers alone. It could be a non-member at an entry stage only buying products from Kaya. So we are actually building customer personas as we speak. And that is something that we use for cohort targeting in digital. That's an area that I think the marketing team is also trying to do. We are also trying to find ways and means where we are not just going to big cities, as I mentioned, into smaller cities, and also looking at new methods of communication like vernacular. Because we don't think all of the personas or people who come to Kaya necessarily are people who are going to be affluent, rich, and only in big cities. So we are also trying to find ways and means to get across to people. In fact, some of our experiments in vernacular in the last 1 month have been very, very successful. In certain states, right? I mean, specifically, the local language speaking is very, very strong. And also, we are doing a lot of video-based content recently. So a lot of Dermat Mythbuster videos have been created. A lot of things have been done to make the brand a little bit more accessible, better understood by customers than what they do in some cases. So personas are definitely a very strong way, and then cohort targeting is something that we are trying to do.
So I have a suggestion out here in terms of the persona. I mean, it's not 100% correlated, but what I ended up finding whenever I found a Kaya customer, more often than not, I found them using an iPhone. So if you could target such people, you could have a better chance.
So another couple of ideas I think we are floating is affiliate marketing, to look at first people who are going to particular type of brands and could be potentially tie up with those kind of brands. I don't want to name any because we're trying to make these tie-ups happen over the next 1 or 2 quarters, because their customers could be our customers. For example, today we are using a tie-up with Cred, and Cred customers are basically affluent, upper middle class consumers with, you know, strong credit ratings and stuff like that. Those customers could be potentially customers to Kaya. CultFit was another example where we said fitness-orientated young consumers from largely tech-driven type of companies are people who could also be interested in skin and hair services, and that's why we went and tied up with Cult. So this kind of affiliate collaborative marketing is something we are looking at very strongly in the next few months.
So that's really encouraging to hear. Similarly, the Apple also has a designated seller in India. Maybe you can think of tying
up. Absolutely.
Or maybe you can get that database out of whichever legitimate place you can get out, get that information out and maybe market to them. That can help a lot. My last question would be, sir, on the digital marketing front, like it was discussed before, that you've hired people and you've hired someone at a VP level from Baskin Robbins. So what is it that you're trying to achieve in a focused way? There are brands that came after Kaya, which were product focused back then. Maybe Kaya wasn't that product focused, and they were catering to another category of customers like Mama Earth and brands of that sort. But they got the digital world by fire, and they have been able to really scale wonderfully in the time, in the short span that they have been in business. So are we looking at actively focusing on influencers on Instagram places like these to really market Kaya to its full potential?
I think good point again. They're very good brands that you mentioned, and these have really been internet first brands, and then they have fortunately come much later, but probably come with new learnings and have grown very quickly as internet forward brands. So I think we probably were a little late in the game, but now the entire ambition is the next 2-3 years journey for Kaya would be more focused on digital, both from the digital marketing initiative, at the same time building certain tools which would be used for reaching out to customers, the D2C website being one strong such tool, and creating our own this thing. The difference that I would say, and I would say the positive about Kaya, is while most of them claim to be dermatologically backed products, we are also backed with 100 doctors who are available for you to consult online if you want to. And that gives us a little bit of a position of strength to say that, you know, we understand Indian skin. We've been in business for 18 years looking after Indian skin. And that's why our products are far more credible than that of others. So while we had not said this story very strongly on digital, we will do that over the next few years, and hopefully we should be able to get into a position of strength on the digital side in the next couple of years.
That sounds really encouraging. All the best for
thank you
all the strategies that you have, and may you reach break even and
profit. Thank you very much. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vijay, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, Rajiv. I'm Dr. Vijayalo.
Hi.
I trust you guys in the question. On the services side, I'm good to see that, you know, you're targeting 18 to 35, 40 years. But this is another very large chunk of, you know, population 45
yes.
or early 50.
Your voice is I'm not able to really hear you.
So may we request you to move to a better reception area?
Can you hear me enough?
A little better, yes.
I'm talking about the services, you know, upwards of 45 to 55 range, you know, where we have a huge population who would want to age very well, right?
Correct.
Are you looking at any products, you know, so that, you know, you will have a very chunk of, I don't see any other chain or standalone clinics targeting such or communicating in that way. Yeah. I think that's one huge opportunity for us. Can I hear anything from you?
So it may not be purely external marketing communication or digital communication. This will not be very focused communication towards the premium senior consumer. So the 45 plus consumer that we're talking about, that can come through collaborative marketing, through referral programs and various other things. Because if you realize in our business, almost 18 to 20% of our business purely comes from this customer already. The 40-plus customer is coming through anti-aging as a service. And our investments on this area in terms of technology over the last 1 year also has been fairly strong. We introduced HIFU machines in the business. We already have a product called Thermage in the business. We also recently started doing a lot of work on threads, which is another way of rejuvenating skin and hair, is something that we have actually brought in. So our technology portfolio in this space, in the premium end, is fairly strong. Only thing is we need to do selective communication, because our main communication has to be focused towards the real TG of Kaya that we want to reach out to, which is, incidentally, in India, it's going to be a younger consumer.
But at the same time, the premium consumer does exist. The older consumer does exist. We are in fact trying to make the brand a little bit more younger. Doesn't mean we will not focus and communicate to these customers. Part of this communication comes from CRM and referrals, where we do a lot of work with our existing customers in this age segment. And we also get good amount of new traffic through referrals, and convert rates on these referrals are pretty good. And last but not the least, investment on technology and machinery is also focused towards this premium end of the customer.
Okay. And the product, I think,
products also, if you look at it, we do have a very good range of anti-aging products. In fact, a complete portfolio of anti-aging products. And going forward in this financial year itself, you'll see about 3 to 4 launches, which are purely targeted to the anti-aging segment. Now, anti-aging in our business doesn't necessarily mean a 45-year-old consumer. Anybody upwards of 30 could use an anti-aging product for just rejuvenating the skin.
Quite encouraged on.
Mr. Vijay, sorry to interrupt, sir, but your voice is breaking up a lot.
Can you guys hear me?
It's a little.
I'm sorry for this. I have a poor network. And then I think you guys must be encouraged on the way Nykaa's IPO is shaping up. People are really encouraged. Valuation of $4 to $5 billion of a valuation, right? So that these things are really exciting even for Kaya now, because Kaya is also right now, I think, coming up with a digital, B2C portal and lot of digital initiatives happening. And then all the very best, Rajiv and team.
Sure.
Yeah. Thanks.
Thank you. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 at this time. For the questions, I now hand the conference over to the management for their closing comments.
Okay. Saurabh?
Sir, we have one question in the queue.
Yeah.
Can we promote?
Sure, we will take it.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Milan Shah from Urmil Research. Please go ahead.
Can you hear me, sir?
Yeah, it's a little unclear, but should be okay.
Oh, okay. Sir, I want to know how many anti-aging machines do you have to install in your skincare?
Sorry, I couldn't understand that very clearly.
Okay, and do you have anti-aging machines?
Correct. How many machines we have installed?
Yeah.
So typically, anti-aging machines are not installed in the same abundance as other machines. We do have, premium technology like from Bausch & Lomb. We have a product called Thermage, which we have about 10 installations. We have products like Haifu, which is a very recent introduction in India, very common in Middle East. We have done about 6 installations recently. Then we have various other products like microneedling, RFs and all that stuff, where we have about 20-odd machines in the country. So anywhere between 5 to 20 installations in any of the machinery for anti-aging is something that we introduce. It's not available in every single clinic of Kaya.
Yeah. I understand, because we have a very great survey where you have to put our machines.
Yes.
After you are selecting the location. And thank you, sir, for my question. And
sure.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
As there are no further questions, I now hand the conference over to the management for their closing comments.
Yeah. So Saurabh is around?
Okay. Just to conclude, the group is closely monitoring the developments, the possible effects that may result from the current pandemic on its financial condition, liquidity and operations, and is actively working to minimize the impact of this unprecedented situation. Thank you for participating in calls. Be safe and take care. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Dolat Capital, that concludes this conference. Thank you all for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.
Thank you.